this is Mike Strauss, and I'm the CEO and president of Good Life Innovations, and this is your assistive technology update.
Hello, and welcome to your assistive technology update, a weekly dose of information that keeps you up to date on the latest developments in the field of technology designed to assist individuals with disabilities and special needs. I'm your host, Josh Anderson, with the Indata Project at Easter Seals Crossroads in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to episode 412 of Assistive Technology Update. It's scheduled to be released on April 19th, 2019. On today's show, we're very excited to have Dr. Michael Strauss on. He's the president and CEO for Good Life Innovations. Let's go ahead and get into the interview and hear more about it. So folks, our guest today is Dr. Michael Strauss, and he's here to talk about Good Life Innovations and how this technology and system can not only assist those with disabilities, but can also assist those who assist individuals with disabilities. Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Mike, before we kind of get into talking about Good Life Innovations, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I won't go back too far. If I started at the beginning, I grew up in the Ozarks in southern Missouri and went to a one-room schoolhouse. And from there, you know, I ended up working in technology, which seems like a thousand years from each other. But I began at the University of Kansas in a doctoral program in applied behavioral analysis. And really, from there, got into a field of actually working with programs like Boys Town and other programs, really in the service industry. And our focus at the university was really the creation of service models. That's really our focus completely. And so we developed service models that were as effective as we can make them. Cost-effective, high quality, and things that could be replicated and disseminated. And that work from the university led me to Good Life Innovations that is now doing all kinds of work, and I can get into the mission in a minute. But basically, after I got my doctorate at KU, I've been working for the last 32 years doing the same thing. At the same place. So I've been pretty much blessed. I'm still with the University of Kansas, but I'm the CEO of Good Life, and I don't think I would do anything different.
Isn't that nice? I know you kind of said, you know, I've been here for a long time and been blessed, but it's either really good or really terrible. They won't let you leave. I'm not sure which one, but it sounds like it's on the good side there.
Well, when we started, it was we had about $100,000 budget, and now it's grown quite a bit. I think our services budget now is, you know, $28 or $29 million. And we've actually developed probably about a little over $100 million of annual budgeted services across the country. So our focus has always been helping other people use service models that we think are kind of the next generation of care and starting fires across the country that grow and hopefully help people.
Nice. And you kind of started talking about it right there, but what is Good Life Innovations?
Well, the mission of Good Life in a nutshell is to redefine what's possible for helping people who need help live independently in their home. And really over time, our mission has changed. You know, this is a new company that kind of assumed the old company, and the old company was very clearly focused on intellectual disabilities. And we absolutely continue to do that. But in reality, and as you hear more of what we do, all of the things and approaches that we have developed really are about empowering people to live more independently, who needs help to live independently. And that's more populations than people with intellectual disabilities. Mm-hmm. And primarily now it's with seniors and people with intellectual disabilities. And as we moved into that sphere, we recognized very quickly a couple of things. One is those two populations can help each other. And there's energy and synergy that happens when you focus on that. And really our focus, as you'll hear, is really more into neighborhood support systems. Basically, if you're going to help people live independently, our belief is that we want to develop support structures that fundamentally become an amenity of the neighborhood. And so whoever in that neighborhood, any neighbor in need who needs help to live independently, whether it's, you know, support, virtual support that we'll get into, or professional support, we can deliver that from in the context of their neighborhood. And why do you want to do that only for one population when you already have the infrastructure in, you know, to support multiple needs?
So tell me a little bit more about these neighborhoods.
Well, right now, at least, it starts with a well-picked neighborhood. So we try to, where we put a neighborhood network, and the neighborhood network, I'll explain what it has in it. But when we start and try to embed amenities into a neighborhood, it starts with picking the right neighborhood. And that would include, you know, good houses that are safe, that have, that are large enough so that we can, you know, when I say large enough, we're looking at probably 200 units plus that are arranged, and that maybe they have clubhouses, and maybe they're close to, you know, shopping and public transportation. We actually have an assessment that we've developed with the University of Kansas called the Neighborhood Assessment. And that neighborhood assessment really kind of looks at all the characteristics that we think are important for people to have if they need support. It could be accessible housing. That's harder to come by, but, you know, at least open floor plans and not barrier free or barrier fewer issues. Mm-hmm. Good streets, not through streets, transportation access, close to churches and close to shopping and close to the medical facilities, maybe close to, you know, where people could work, those sorts of things. And once we select that neighborhood, then what we do is we start developing and putting in a neighborhood support system that we call the neighborhood network. Mm-hmm. And the neighborhood networks, basically it begins with professional neighbors. So we actually hire and infuse the neighborhood with professional neighbors whose job it is to provide support 24/7. And we pay them well, and they work, you know, in the scheduled fashion, but they are also in a rotated way on call. And their job is to be there to help support people who have needs. We bolt on top of that, you know, some shift staffing. And of course, the professional neighbors live there. This is their homes. Mm-hmm. And then we have shift staffing that goes on top of that, depending on the number of people that we're supporting. And then, of course, we infuse each home with iLink technology, which is owned by Good Life. Mm-hmm. And iLink technology, the I stands for independence. And the link part is basically it links the home to our ability to remotely monitor that home. And here's the thing. What we recognize and what is the case is that when people are living independently or they're living semi-independently, most of the people that we work with, seniors or people with intellectual disabilities, they have a lot of skills. But the problem is when they need help, they need help. And unfortunately, many of the things they need help for are intermittent and unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Well, traditional systems like assisted living or group homes, you know, what they do is they provide help to wait until a need exists. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only way they have been able to address intermittent needs. But what we do is we basically put that help in the neighborhood, and it supports a number of homes and a number of people. But then the challenge becomes, how do we know when there's a need? And of course, that's where iLink comes in. So with iLink, each home is embedded with very much tailored smart technology that's designed for independent living. That includes sensors. It can include cameras that are self-directed, meaning that they can initiate them. It's intercoms. It's all kinds of support technologies. So that basically we can have people remotely in that neighborhood, people that they actually know, you know, their professional neighbor, are monitoring and helping the homes as virtual, in a virtual way, checking in on them, answering requests, remotely coaching people and assisting them, people that they know very well and who are trusted. And then when they need help, then they deploy that help. And then at night, while the professional neighbors aren't monitoring anymore, actually, we have a remote center that's connected to it that monitors multiple neighborhoods. And the remote coaches at that center will be there at night. And they will, you know, if there's a need at night, then they would deploy a professional neighbor or other supports to the home. So the neighborhood network, it has iLink technology for the homes. It's got a local support center that's embedded in that neighborhood. It's got professional neighbors, and it's got a deployment strategy so that we can provide support remotely or on demand or in the home 24/7. And the issue there is that allows people to be independent. It allows you to support people who have needs that ebb and flow at unpredictable times. And so people who are, you know, fairly independent, they have a tremendous trust and safety net of knowing that when they do have an issue or do have a problem or do need some help, then help can be 60 seconds to 2 minutes out anytime.
Well, I can see how that can help in so many different ways, and maybe we'll get into it a little bit, but I know we talked about how the direct service professionals, how that, you know, just that market's kind of hard to keep up with, but also just the individual having that independence. I know some folks I've worked with really, they end up not resenting the people that are there to help them, but just kind of want them out of their way, because like you said, they're not needed all the time, but it's important they're there when they are needed, so that's a great way to make sure those individuals still get the services they need, but without having to have, you know, somebody actually in the home all the time.
Well, and I want to add to that. It's not, you know, I think the failure, we kind of have to own the reason technology hasn't been as useful as it could be. Mm-hmm. First of all, technology is complicated, and people who are needing help often don't know how to handle those complications. They're not able to you know, work through home automations, and they're not able to work through apps and other things as easily as other people. Mm-hmm. The way iLink works and the way our neighborhood network works is all the heavy lifting, all of those things are done by remote people. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's really important is we found for people to feel comfortable in these kinds of supports, they have to be provided by people that really know them well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the other thing that we've been able to break through. You know, in a neighborhood network, you may be supporting, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 different people across, you know, 200, 300, 400 homes that are in that community. So they're very included, inclusive within that program. The professional neighbors live there and the monitoring center's there. Professional neighbors take turns monitoring the people that they know. And it's really important that the people who are virtually supported are supported by, you know, their good friend Fred or, you know, mm-hmm. their neighbor, that they have developed a relationship. It where it gets a little hard is when you're being supported by somebody that you don't know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the pushback's always been. You've got, you know, my definition, I think that the definition of a privacy intrusion is an unwelcome intrusion. You know, an intrusion mm-hmm. unwelcome. You know, and we're not in the business of intruding. We're in the business of trying to be in the background and supporting when you need it. And we want to be welcomed. We want, you know, we feel, and it's been our experience, that if you do this right, people will prefer their independence and they like the safety net of you being there. And they're happy with you being there because the alternative is that they would be in a group home or an assisted living, and then they would lose all of their privacy. So this is an important program, but it's important to know how to support people in a way that makes them comfortable with technology.
Mike, when I saw you present on this, you talked about the little key cards, and I cannot remember the name of them at all. But can you tell our listeners about those?
The what? I didn't hear.
Oh, sorry. The little, they were like key cards that they used to kind of scan in, scan out and stuff.
I thank you for reminding me of that. It's my passion right now, actually. we developed lots of help for people to make complicated things simple. But we've created a card that's called an NFC card. It's an NFC card, which is near field communication card. The program is called FYI. Here's the thing. We believe, you know, our vision of the Neighborhood Network is we want to be there to provide support at the moment and place of need. That's our vision. With FYI, our new technology, the goal is to provide information and sort of text or video support at the moment of need. You know, think about this, and I know providers go through this all the time. You hire staff, mm-hmm. and you provide 2 weeks of training. And then you just hope they can remember it when they need to remember it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we all know that they don't. And the same goes with you know, clients that we serve or seniors that we serve. You know, they can't keep all of the information in their head for every possibility that they need. What they need is exactly the information that they need at the moment in time that they need it. So the FYI card basically works like Google Pay or Apple Pay. Mm-hmm. We've designed a system where we can take a phone or a tablet that uses NFC. And all you do is you put the tablet or phone over the NFC card, which is think of it like a business card. And it does whatever that card says it's supposed to do. So you don't have to know how to do an app. You don't have to know how to navigate to some client information management. So here's how it would work. Let's say that you had an FYI card that said Fred's parents' emergency number, mm-hmm. and you put that on by the house phone. Well, if the staff needed to call Fred's home number, or if the client needed to call his home number, you put the phone over it, and the number pops straight up. Just like that. I mean, you don't have to go to an app. You don't have to push a button. You don't have to do anything. It's just like Apple Pay. You hover the phone over it and it does whatever thing. So for example, let's say that somebody had a peanut allergy or they had some dietary restrictions. Mm-hmm. We would make an FYI card that looked like a business card that would say Fred's dietary restrictions. And we put it up on the refrigerator. Well, several staff go through that person's life. And so it's important that they know that he has a peanut allergy. Mm-hmm. So they would go up to the thing, and when they're cooking dinner, they would just put the phone over there and it would come up and say, you know, here's the following, dietary restrictions for Fred. It gave them that information exactly when it was needed and where it was needed. And so they didn't have to navigate. It was like a Harry Potter wand that they put over and they just got the information. It almost looks like a magnifying glass. You put it over and it tells you what you want to see. You don't have to navigate. You don't have to do anything. It just comes up. It also will bring a video. So let's say a client wanted to have a cookbook and it would have a picture of oatmeal on it. You put the phone over it and it would take you to a video of how to cook oatmeal. Or if you were in a job, a supported employment job, and they needed to know how to clean a room, you would put it over there and they'd give you the instruction on how to clean that room. So it is all designed to either give you text, a video, or do a home automation with just one movement. And that movement is putting the phone over it. It requires no other thing. So the idea, and I think the transformational thing about this technology is that it makes things that otherwise would be too complicated for somebody to do simpler. So it basically allows them to self-direct their life, or it allows an employee to get the information on what they need to do. One last example, we use these cards, for example, all of our vehicles have lifts, mm-hmm. but people don't always remember how to use them, and all the lifts are different. And there's lots of liability around people not correctly putting people in lifts correctly and using the lifts correctly. Yeah. So these cards would just basically put it over there. It'd immediately go to a video showing somebody how to use that lift. So it's called FYI. And I think it's kind of like a Twitter-like approach to information to make things simple, and hopefully it's going to allow people to have more self-direction. You know, mm-hmm. one of these cards, the one I just talked to before, you know, we started with our developer on, is it is tied to iLink. Not all of them are, But this was a home automation that when you, that the card would be simply called good night. And what would happen is it would be on your bed dresser, side table. And when you go to bed, you would put your phone over it and basically would make sure your door was locked, your stove was off, and it would notify iLink that you're going to bed so that we could start our monitoring program. Now, that would be a lot of steps to do, but you could do it just one step.
Well, and not just a lot of steps to do, but a lot of things, you know, to remember, you know, do I say good night? Do I say have a great night? You know, and then if I get it wrong, I get flustered and then I'm kind of going to kind of get behind. And next thing you know, I leave one of those things undone. So that's awesome the way that it's integrated in there with it. I've always been a huge fan of video modeling and using the videos to help folks be more independent, especially for the big things. But I love the way you're using the one piece that just the kind of hover over to do all these complex things and help folks gain independence and be able to do some stuff for themselves as well.
Yeah. So whether it's staff or whether that support people and they can't keep everything in their head or whether it's clients, we can do a better job with technology of making it simple. And I think, you know, we are always in this consumer world where everything is really neat, but can you really use it? And do you remember how to use it? I mean, every app is the same way. Mm-hmm. And so we want something that makes everything that's complicated simple.
No, and I think that's great. There's a big thing in assistive technology called abandonment. And if folks can't use technology, can't figure it out, they're just going to let it sit there and become a very expensive paperweight. So that's great you guys thought about that.
And just to kind of let you know how this fits in, we believe, and that's why we're talking about the neighborhood network and iLink. Mm-hmm. We believe that technology is best delivered in a, because as I told you, my background is in the development of service models. Mm-hmm. And so what we've tried to do is develop a service model that leverages technology as much as we possibly can. And I think the mistake we've often done in technology is we basically give technology to people who give services, but their service model isn't designed to use it. And, you know, if we're really going to get as much as we can out of technology, we're going to have some program design redesigns of people's services. Right now, and I didn't mention this before, but one part of the neighborhood network is our Applied Technology Center. I think I mentioned that in a presentation earlier that I did. And that technology center basically is remote nursing, remote behavioral analysis, remote case management, and a remote staff support. Well, that's provided to all of the different neighborhoods that we might work with. But I can tell you, when we brought nursing into that technology environment, we immediately realized that they needed a tremendous amount of retooling and help to be able to deliver care, health care, mm-hmm. and health supports remotely. And they were just entrenched in a traditional system. And it takes a lot of work to retool the service model.
Mike, kind of before we run out of time here, and you talked about it a little bit kind of with the FYI program, what else are you guys working on for the future?
Well, the FYI is a big one. The other thing that's really big right now is probably maybe more important as low-hanging fruit than anything else is our Workforce 101 program. I'll tell you this. All of the technology and all the service model stuff is really about how do you squeeze more value out of labor and deliver support more economically to people in a way that they want it. I mean, it's all about deployment and it's all about leveraging labor costs. That work got us into a lot of work on how you do schedules, how you do staffing arrangements. And so right now we're doing a lot of work. We call it Workforce 101. It's workshops that we do that change how people staff and use services. We develop 3-day work weeks. We develop all kinds of staffing strategies. We have a leasing programs for staff for hourly labor. We're really focusing all of our work on maximizing the amount of money that we have to pay people. We just worked with a program in Missouri. It's $100 million a year annual program. We've only got through 45 of the homes, which is about 25% of their homes. Mm-hmm. We're at least on paper, we're able to increase their hourly pay from $12 to $14 an hour without additional cost to them. That's transformational if you can come up with ways, you know, to pay people more with what you have. Mm-hmm. And so my feeling is that that's how we kind of decided that's how we're starting out, because that gives them a greater, more stable workforce. And then on top of that, then we're bolting on, you know, new technologies and stuff like that on how they can get even more value out of labor. So in many ways, it's all about labor. It's all about how you deliver, you know, cost-effective people at the moment and time that they're needed. And at the same time, how do you really give those individuals who work so hard in our industry the amount of money and support and actually give them what they want from the available funds that you have?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not just being able to make more money to provide for yourself better, but a more flexible schedule, having more time. And as anyone in really any industry knows, finding good people's hard, keeping them's even harder. So
it's incredible. Yeah. But there's things that you can do. I mean, you know, when you look at it, you spend about 62% more of resources on an employee than they take home. And so, you know, that there's a lot there that you can do differently. And we've figured out how we can do some of that. And so we try to share that.
Well, Mike, if our listeners want to find out more about you or about Good Life Innovations, where could they look?
Well, they can go to our website, which is mygoodlife.org. And then from there, there's portals that will take them in to find out a little bit about us and also to contact us. So it's mygoodlife.org.
Excellent. We'll put a link to that over in the show notes. Dr. Mike Strauss, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Do you have a question about assistive technology? Do you have a suggestion for someone we should interview on Assistive Technology Update? If you do, call our listener line at 317-721-7124. Shoot us a note on Twitter at Indata Project or check us out on Facebook. Are you looking for a transcript or show notes? Head on over to our website at www.easterseelstech.com. Assistive Technology Update is a proud member of the Accessibility Channel. For more shows like this, plus so much more, head over to accessibilitychannel.com. The views expressed by our guests are not necessarily that of this host or the Indata Project. This has been your Assistive Technology Update. I'm Josh Anderson with the Indata Project at Easter Seals Crossroads in Indianapolis, Indiana. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.